Welcome to the Cyclomatic Fogcast.
It's Friday. It's after work.
And this is the Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast. Get my geek on. Get my geek on. The Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast is presented by Iowa's most recommended real estate agent, Mark Charter.
Now, hear this.
No other agent in Iowa offers more when you buy or sell your home through Mark Charter, including a customizable commission plan when you list your home. You choose 5, 6, or 7%. Read more about Mark Charter and see why he is Iowa's most recommended realtor at Trulia.com and MarkCharter.com.
This is how we roll.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter, Chris Williams, and Adam Gray.
What's up, fanatics? Hope you all are doing all right after a week of not many podcasts, but the podcast is here, courtesy of Mark Charter Real Estate. First time ever we've actually recorded the podcast on a Friday. Did I just let out our dirty little secret, Mark?
You know what I realized? We're recording this in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm in real estate, so we're not exactly known for being morning people.
You're nocturnal.
So what I found out today was that the sun is out at 8. I thought that happened more around 11 o'clock.
What time do you normally get noon. Up?
You know, noon, 2.
You're
looking at me like, no. could he possibly be serious right now?
Well, the only reason I looked at you like that is because I actually have friends who were like that. Like Hassel and Zavalensky, before Zavalensky had a kid,
yeah.
Like they would stay up until like 4 or 5 in the morning playing like NHL hockey on yep. PlayStation and then sleep until, I remember Hassel and I had a meeting we had to get to a couple years ago, and like our meeting was the next day at like 7:30, or it was like an early morning meeting, and I had to get a hold of him the day before to like, you know, to talk, and I kept texting him all day, heard nothing back. I got a text back from him at like 4:30 in the afternoon because he had just woken up. So when you tell me you get up at 11 or noon, I actually know people who are like that.
You're thinking that's plausible.
Yeah.
But then to bring it back to reality, that actually does not happen in my life. All I need to say is I have a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old at home. And they don't sleep in. So
I hear you.
My 3-year-old comes in every morning because we have an alarm clock that turns green in his room at 7. And when it turns green, he can leave his room. That's his code to leave. Otherwise, he'd be down way too early.
You've trained him like a dog. That's good.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I'll be asleep at that point, and he'll come down, and I'll feel a little tap on my shoulder or a little whisper in my ear, and I'll say, "It turned green, Daddy." That's the first thing I hear every morning. Because then
it's kind of creepy.
Then he gets to go out to the kitchen where we have a checklist of like the stuff he has to do to be good that day. And the first one is waiting till it's green. It's like, can I get a check mark? That's how he rolls, man.
Seton?
Yeah.
Seton's the man.
He is the man.
Gave me a nice hand pound at the game the other day. What's up, Adam?
Not a lot.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Can't complain.
Getting some good sleep.
You know what?
He's knocking on.
I'm knocking
fake wood.
On fake wood. Last night was pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, little princess went back to bed when we told her to.
Is being a dad everything you thought it would be?
You know what? I feel like one, yes. I feel like this like newborn stage is more for the ladies.
It is.
And now, don't get me wrong. Like I'm enjoying every second of it, but I feel like because you know the woman has to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is kind of there just to be the assistant and do whatever the woman asks. But yeah, I mean, I had a great last night. It was a neat moment. We the Daytona 500s this weekend, so they have their qualifying races on Thursday. Sat there with my dad who was in town and my daughter on my lap, and she was wide awake. And which the NASCAR eventually put her to sleep.
like it does.
He's still with me, yeah.
But no, it was cool. That's what it's all about.
Nice.
I'm yeah. enjoying it.
For those cave dwellers out there that maybe don't follow Twitter, Facebook, etc., your wife had a baby since last we met.
Yeah. The fetus is no longer. It's now an actual newborn baby.
I heard somebody, it was probably on KXNO, talking about how they were so happy for the birth of your child, so you would quit calling it the fetus.
See, I don't understand why that's like weird for some people.
I find it weird.
The definition of a fetus is an unborn baby.
I know.
There's just nothing wrong with the word.
Wrong? No. Weird? Yeah.
Early on, I'd agree with you, but when you're 1 minute from giving birth,
it's still a fetus.
That's a full baby, man. That's a full baby. It's not. The fetus is about to come out.
That was the whole delivery experience was something else, though.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
No, I'm not going
to share anything.
No, it's just like there's nothing anybody can say or no video you can watch to get you ready for that.
So how long was the process from labor to delivery?
Well, ours was probably a little weird. So like her water actually broke, but we didn't really know it on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Like I went to the game. She was with her folks. They went to the mall. And then, then we kind of started to figure it out Saturday night. Like, oh, this is interesting. And then we called, the nurse. And she's like, hey, if something's still happening tomorrow, call us, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And then about noon, we went into the hospital. You know, they did the check. They're like, yeah, you're in labor. And then they, at that point, they're just like, they gave her some hormone or whatever to speed up the process.
Yep.
And she delivered at 12:05 in the morning. So it was about, of hard labor, probably 10 hours.
Middle of the night, though, 12:05.
It was a wild night. And the crazy thing was, too, they were having, we were at Methodist, and it was just insanity.
Yeah.
Like, when we got there, they didn't even have, a triage room for us to go to. We had to sit in the lobby for, a half hour.
It's like a baby superstore over there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, at Christmas time, it's crazy.
And then when we left, they didn't even have rooms for people. There were people giving birth in triage. There's just a ton of kids being born right now, apparently.
See, we had a little different. My wife's dad was a physician up at Ames, so we had both of our children up at Mary Greeley in Ames, and we were both born there too, so nostalgic reasons, I guess. Nowhere near the traffic flow of the Des Moines hospitals.
Oh, I bet.
So, yeah. And it was weird because I remember our first child, you know, you see all, your only perception of what it's like to have a baby is movies and TV, what you've seen.
Exactly.
And I remember thinking my wife went into labor, ultimately had a C-section many, many hours later, but it's the middle of the night, it's 3, 4 a.m., and a nurse is coming in because she's technically in labor, and she's like, okay, we're going to try to push. So the nurse is on one side of the bed, I'm on the other, we're both holding a knee,
because
my wife's knees are in the air, and she's telling my wife to push, okay? It's the middle of the night, it's 4 a.m., it's me and a nurse and my wife, and I'm thinking, what happens if the head starts to come out now?
Am I
supposed to catch it?
Yeah.
It was nothing like it is on TV.
You get down there like a quarterback.
Where the doctor's all ready to go, et cetera. Yeah. I'm like,
it's not a deal for water breaks at home. Let's rush to the hospital and the baby's going to pop out in 20 minutes. That doesn't happen.
It can for some people.
Well, if it's like
rare.
You're like fourth kid or something.
The baby just walks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anywho, no, it was cool. Thank you, Mark, for the bunny. Cammy loved it. Adam, thank you for the bottle of scotch.
You're welcome. I got a bone to pick with you about that, though. Very
nice. He didn't offer you any?
No, he did. I shared some.
Yeah, we actually opened a bottle of scotch in the hospital. We didn't know if that was...
What was the brand? What'd you get him?
It was outstanding.
Do you remember?
It was
17-year-old.
Was it a Glenlivet or something?
No, it was... The guy said it was the Mercedes-Benz of Sky. He said it was
outstanding.
Good. It was good.
All right.
Yeah, you have to come over. I told Gray I won't drink it unless he's there.
Yeah, so we'll have to
do a reunion.
I'm still waiting. I still haven't seen the Williams crib over there.
Oh, it's nice.
In Bondo.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Come on over.
The cycling bar in the basement.
Yeah, come on down. It's a hell of a time.
So I go
what's your problem with
it? No, I go to visit you at the hospital. I bring Julie along. We're really happy for you guys.
Yeah.
I wanted to share a man hug with you, and you were just sitting there holding camera, and you didn't even feel like you needed to get up and give me a congratulatory hug. But that's not what I'm pissed about.
I was trying to soothe her.
You could have handed her off to Julie, and then, you know.
He's just jealous because I gave him
I saw Mark get it this morning, and I'm sitting here. I'm like, where's my bro hug?
I instigated.
You
want
a hug?
I instigated.
No, I'm good now.
You want a hug?
No, I don't want a hug now. I had a chance.
I'll give you a hug
right
now.
No, I don't want one. It's gone.
There'd be no meaning behind it. Why would he want a meaningless hug?
I'll wait for your second kid before I get a hug.
That's what I always tell my wife when it comes to,
Yeah.
If I have to ask for it all the time, it doesn't mean as much.
You know what? Anymore, after many years of marriage, begging, I'm not past that.
He just described 99% of his sex life right there.
Well, and everybody, congratulations. Every man listening knows what I'm talking about,
too. Oh, absolutely.
Every married man, at least.
By the way, good luck on the next 8 weeks of your life while your wife recuperates. So, I feel for you, buddy.
It'll be some long showers.
I do feel for you.
Better get that water heater fixed now.
Absolutely. But, yeah, have you said – so is that what you're mad about?
No. So
that's not what you're mad about?
That's not – I mean, no.
So you're listing off like 10 things you're mad at me about.
He's just getting started.
My gosh.
So we pour the scotch. It was delicious. I finished up quick because I got to get Julie back. And you had a little bit left. And yesterday at the radio show, Bloom says, yeah, I see you bought some scotch for Williams. He didn't finish drinking it. Oh. It sat there, got diluted, and he just left it there. So this nice $200 bottle of scotch I bought for him, and he's just letting it just
sit
there waste.
That is not true.
What?
Bloom is a liar.
I'm just going by what Bloom said.
And how has that gone for you in the three, 4 years that you've known Bloom? How many times has Bloom gone, oh, yeah, I'll see you there at 8? And Adam's sitting there waiting and waiting. And waiting. How many times has Bloom been like, yeah, I'll meet you guys at the bar. We'll watch the game.
Yeah, I'm coming to the recruiting party this year. Yeah.
How many times has Bloom told you things that are not true?
You know, damn near every time he talks, he lies to me now. Okay. I think about it.
So don't come at me like that, bro.
Are you telling me it's not true?
Absolutely, I'm telling you.
Tell me your side of the story then.
I drank the glass of scotch that you and I had together.
Okay, which was delicious.
And then I poured another, and... there was just, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, there's a tiny glass that came with it.
Yes.
There's like a centimeter of it left in this glass.
Okay.
So I went and put some ice in it, and I drank the majority of it, and then the rest sat, and it was like the water right there.
It was just diluted water.
Correct. Was this like Johnny Walker Blue Label? I'm trying to figure out how much. You just said what you spent. It's only got to be a few types.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell.
That's insane. Why did you spend $200 on a bottle of scotch for me?
Because I thought we'd share a hug, and he didn't even get a hug. And then we would do this drink together. I was excited about this.
It was a lovely moment.
It was.
We had a bottle. We opened up hard liquor in the hospital.
We did.
He puts my gift to shame. But although my gift was for the baby.
Mark got Cammy a little bunny.
I know.
So for the record, because I told my wife I do things on a whim. So I went down to the hospital on a whim with no intention whatsoever to actually see the baby or even see your wife. So my plan was to. I understand these things, right? Like day one, mom isn't really wanting the visitors. You know, I've been there. I've done that. I get it. So I told her, I just went down to the hospital. She's like, you weren't going to see her, were you? No, my plan was to go to the desk and ask for you. You were gone. I happened to run into your wife's father. Gave him the bunny. I didn't even approach the room. So I had some respect. I wasn't trying to do a sneak attack on the fam.
I'm disappointed that I missed you, though. I'm sorry about that. Apparently, I was out letting Dirks out.
Yeah, I think...
And taking a much-needed shower.
Yeah, your father-in-law said, no, he's out of here. He's had enough.
Yeah, he's done.
He says fatherhood's overrated.
Stick a fork in him.
He checked out, so.
No, good week. Clones are undefeated since Cameron was born.
Mm-hmm.
The women's basketball team pulled off one of its best wins of the season. Up until last night, Iowa was winless. Cameron, she's making her impact.
She's pulling her weight right now.
Yeah.
All 6 pounds, 7 ounces, or whatever it was.
She was 7'3", and now she's at like 6'7".
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah, she's
that's
like dropping.
They drop a little.
That's how it always goes. Yeah.
That's what happens. Yeah. Yep. So, Mark, you... it was after the Oklahoma game.
Mm-hmm.
You were pretty upset with this team. You were. I mean, this was like a pretty high level rant that you went on.
Even as far as I go, yeah.
Even during the game on Wednesday. Sorry, my days are all mixed up. Charter was pretty pissed off at halftime with the Cyclones.
So I learned my lesson last week because when I speak my mind, the fanatics don't like it. I thought that was my role here on the show to be the voice of the fans.
We want
to speak my mind, but apparently they don't, especially when you disparage our coach. So
you can do it about football when you take on Fred Hoiberg, that you're gonna have people.
Although, so I made a couple of points. I made a couple of points about leadership. I made a couple points about how Fred called timeouts.
Yep.
And in people's rebuttals to those things, actually, it seemed like people agreed with me on the timeout front.
Yeah.
They were saying, yeah, you might have a point there. But okay, so let's become friends again, Cyclone fans. This is my team too. I don't hate the team. I don't think the team's bad. I still think they could go to the Final Four. I love the win on Wednesday. Great win. Any win on the road. It really bothers me to see how crappy their crowd is at Oklahoma State.
Because it's sad, isn't it?
I think
it's
that used to be an institution that people cared about. Yeah. And you had the number 14 team in town.
Used to be a brand.
Yeah, yeah. So something's happened. But you were right, though, at halftime. A little upset because we're seeing a very, very familiar pattern in the first half, mm-hmm. which is build the lead, 6, 8, 10 by halftime, tied,
yeah,
losing.
No, you're exactly right.
So we're not rolling with it in the first half, which is okay if you still win the game. Who cares? But it'd be nice to see us run away from somebody in the first half that isn't Texas Tech or somebody like that.
Yeah, I think you're seeing this team shoring up a lot of their inefficiencies on defense the last couple of games, but there's still those breakdowns in transition that where all of a sudden you can see a 10-point lead evaporate in a matter of a minute, mm-hmm. because when they get back on defense, they're still not picking up all the guys leading to uncontested threes, and teams are all of a sudden going from being down 8 to tie just like that, and momentum flips.
Isn't really that
quick.
Kind of just the style of ball that they play, though? I mean, you're more susceptible to that.
A little bit more transition play, well, yes.
If you have twice as many possessions as, say, like a Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to give up more points, and you're firing off more shots. You can miss more shots. The transition opportunities are there. You know what I'm saying?
No, the opportunities are there. And the defense, I mean, I don't know how you can kill the defensive effort against Okie State.
Oh,
I thought it was fantastic. But there's still some things that they need to clean up on transition defense, and they will.
Yeah.
And you listen to McKay. Rob Gray wrote a nice piece about McKay and his, you know, shooting 500 free throws.
Great piece. Did you read that, Mark?
I finally read a piece.
Finally reading an article on the website.
My wife last night was commenting on, I think it's funny, they always ask you, have you read this? And like, your answer is always no. So I actually read a piece.
I think we're cranking out some quality work these days.
I'm happy to see McKay bring it around, though. I mean, that's a big change at the line. Huge change at the line. But the transition stuff, you're talking about the transition defense is an issue. So at the end of that first half, what I always hate seeing, and again, it's momentum, you can feel it coming, is we had a possession where we go down, we get sloppy with the ball,
yep.
we turn it over, they run it back, they kick it out for a three, the guy hits the three.
Yeah.
It's almost like, okay, he's going to nail that three. I know he's going to nail that three. That's a little different than we're doing our offense, we're missing shots. If we could just clean it up a little bit and avoid those turnovers, that's going to help a lot.
Absolutely.
And I think we will. I think we'll get better in that area.
And we've already made a nice jump from, you know, giving up, what, 94 points or whatever it was to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So you're seeing Oklahoma State's not as talented offensively, but they got nice players that can put some pressure on your defense. And I thought the effort in half court was as good as we've seen all year. Just shore up a couple things. And this team,
I think they're in a groove, boys.
They got a chance to do special things still. They really do.
I think that they're in a groove that – And even if they lose at Texas, frankly, I think that they might. I think there's a pretty good chance they lose on Saturday. That's just a gut feel. I hope I'm wrong.
They're probably going to be underdogs, I would imagine.
I think they're more than that, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like 4 or 5 point underdogs, something like that. But regardless, what you're seeing, though, is what we've seen from every Hoiberg team. What's the date right now? It is February 20th. They're starting to hit that groove.
Yep.
They're ramping up. They're going to be playing their best basketball this season in March. And that's what's important here.
Yeah.
The McKay free throw thing is so critical.
It is.
He had 17 and 14 the other night and only made 2 field goals. When he was first playing this year, it's like it really was a hack-a-shack type deal. Teams weren't intentionally doing it, but he goes to the line so much because the way he plays, the position that he plays, if he's a 50% free throw shooter, when he goes to the line is almost as good of a turnover when you're talking Hoiball, right?
Yep.
Three-pointers worth more than two. You know what I mean? That whole brand and style that they're trying to do up there. But if he's making like
75% like he's been shooting lately.
Like, if he's doing that, it's a total game changer.
Yeah.
It's a total game changer.
I'll be honest. I would take 60 to 65 from him.
If he can get to 70, that's like a dream world
that
we're living in.
I like the fact that, though, you can change your free throw percentage through practice. You just can.
Yeah.
You shoot 500 repeatedly every day, muscle memory kicks in, and you'll get better. So he's putting in the effort.
And it's all about confidence.
Fred's always said, too, about him when he was struggling at the beginning, and basically that he's not a terrible free throw shooter. A lot of that was mental. They believed that the whole time. If you'd ask anybody up there about Jameel's free throws, and that's what they would say. And now, you know, and that's what happened. He saw a few go in. Now, not only is he making them, though, like there's he looks comfortable. The shots look clean.
Yep.
Where earlier, you're leaning to one side.
His form's always been good. He had just a little bit of a hesitation hitch on it. That's gone.
Yeah.
That's gone. The one thing he said in Rob Gray's piece that I liked the most, though, was more on defense. He said early on when he started playing, he was trying to block everything, and he would leave a lot of uncontested offensive rebounds and easy putbacks, and that used to drive me crazy about him.
Yeah, you've wailed about that on this podcast.
Yeah, and you've noticed it. He doesn't do it now. He picks and chooses, and he still had four blocks against Okie State, so he still has that impact.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I mean, our rebounding was fantastic in that game, and if he picks and chooses, we're so much better defensively. And all Iowa State has to be is average on defense, because they're going to be great on offense,
true,
and they can win.
True. Good stuff.
Can I give a shout out to somebody?
Do it.
I posted on Facebook.
It's your podcast.
I was going to be doing the podcast today, and then later I've got something else I'm going to plug. But
are you talking about this white girl with three names?
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, I almost replied to her on your Facebook wall, but I want to talk to you first and make sure she wasn't someone that was going to come at me hard.
No. So my shout out goes to Brandy. So Brandy Cunningham and her husband Lawrence, clients of mine, friends of mine, podcast listeners as well.
Avid, like.
I think Lawrence is an avid listener. I think he just got Brandy into it, but Brandy said, is there a New Kids on the Block reference this time? Because that really takes it from just your average sportscast to something special.
Average? So,
well, you know, whatever. Maybe she's not.
Step by step. Ooh, baby. Gonna get to you, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I laughed. My headset fell off.
Step one.
So I've got a trio of girls on my Facebook. That I call the crap givers, I guess, for lack of a better term. I think we all need women in our lives that bust our balls, that act like dudes.
I got two of them now.
Yeah, other than our spouse. So I've got three pretty good ones: Brandy, Kim, and Heather. That no matter what I say, they give me crap back. They'll be quick to tag me in a post about. Somebody posted the other day, it was around Valentine's Day, that you can get basically a chocolate butthole made. It's a mold. This is a real thing. It's a mold of your butthole, and then they turn the mold into chocolate. So it looked like a chocolate butthole, and somebody said that would be perfect for me, which is fantastic. I'm okay with that.
How do they mold your butthole?
They like turn you upside down and like pour like a wax into your butthole.
Who would do this?
You should Google it. It's a true thing, man.
What if you got an abundance of hair down there?
Maybe to shave it women. First? Or?
Just ask it for a friend.
I have no idea. But anyway, somebody posted
that. I'm just saying it'd be hard
somebody
to
posted
wax,
that
you know?
On my. Somebody posted that on my wall. And it's actually, you know, posted that. I'm going to give another plug. Naomi. Naomi posted that. Naomi owns Cachet Bakery.
Yeah.
Does fantastic birthday cakes and cake balls. She posted it to Heather, one of the people that gives me crap, and says this would be a perfect gift for Mark.
Have you ever spelled Naomi backwards?
I moan. It's perfect. Yeah. Anytime I meet a Naomi, I wonder if they have done that as well.
I've been to the bake shop. That's they made my Busch Light birthday cake.
Cachet did?
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently.
When I took treats into all customers for Christmas, I got them all from Cachet.
So Naomi used to be a real estate agent, but apparently the cake business is more profitable than real estate.
Do they do the butthole balls?
I don't know. Naomi, We want to, if you're listening to this, we want to.
Yeah, we just gave her some free advertising, so she can't be upset.
All right, about. All right, everybody. So here's the deal. So if you have to make a birthday cake, go to Cachet Bakery. And Naomi, we want some free butthole balls to try for the next podcast.
Do you promise me you're friends with her?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't want to get like a slander suit against the podcast.
No,
like
I think she can make some. So we're you're like without the hair.
I feel dirty.
You need to take a shower.
I do need to take a shower. Do you like? By the way, speaking of free advertising, you guys like my shirt?
Ames, it's got to be the water. Booyah, I'm from Ames. I happily acknowledge
it,
we have great water.
Do you get it?
They have good water.
Adam doesn't get it.
Ames is known for their water. And it's true.
Do you remember that stupid jingle?
The water video that came out last year?
Yep. Yeah. You love that video.
Oh, God. Guys, that whole like deal. Who did that? It was like the city council.
They claimed it was for a joke, but it wasn't for a joke.
Bull crap.
Yeah.
If it was a joke, why did you take it down everywhere?
Yeah. That's what they claimed.
They totally played that wrong. From a PR standpoint, they should have lived that up, man. Like, they would have been on the freaking like Today Show.
Yeah.
That thing was going viral.
Yeah.
And then they got too sensitive and pulled it from everywhere.
They should have just kept doing more and more of them like that.
You had national like writers and blogs picking this thing up.
Making fun of it, though. It wasn't like it was...
No, but that's the glory of it, though. Ames could have just owned that. You're right. And just made like spoofs. Like, oh my God, it could have been great. Instead, they got too sensitive and pulled it from everywhere. And now it's on t-shirts as a joke.
So I take good tasting water for granted because I was born and raised there. You guys probably didn't, though. Because especially your water out there in southwestern Iowa probably tasted like rusty nails.
In all seriousness, like the cancer rate down there is insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the water. I don't know. But I do know like it's a agriculture area, right? Everybody farms. And they put a lot of crap in the soil.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have Ames water. Put it that way.
You don't. I've got a...
When I lived in... I'll say this. I drank tap water in Clarinda. When I lived in Shenandoah, I couldn't drink the tap water.
Oh, really?
Couldn't drink it. I had to go and buy like bottles of water. Like it made me want to vomit.
See, I grew up in well water out in Grimes.
Yuck.
Yeah. And then we finally went.
Did you like boil it?
No.
You just drank it straight out of the well?
Yeah. I'm a man. I just...
Even when he was a boy, he was a man.
I'm a man.
Yeah. I could drink this.
I can drink this.
So I have a beautiful segue. I was thinking to myself, how do I segue into my story? But you did it naturally because we're talking about water.
See if you can work the word of the week into the story. This will be good. I'm just challenging you.
I don't know if I can. So
okay.
So last week I alluded to the fact that I was going to tell my Kelly Clarkson story, and the Kelly Clarkson story has to do with water. So perfect segue.
There we go.
About water. So I sold Kelly Clarkson's DNA on eBay, and I've used this example for like why how could you incorporate this story into what you do for real estate? And this is an example of how I view the world a little bit differently than most. So if I'm selling your house, I might look at it a little bit differently than the 10 other agents you're going to meet with. So back in 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, Kelly Clarkson was huge. I guess she still is. Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, I was going to say, she has packed on the pounds.
At this point. Well, she did have a baby, so, you know, we'll let that
stop. No, I'm just saying in general, she's a larger woman.
She's never been skinny. But
no, I like it. She's very real.
So my wife and I, not my wife at the time, but we went to see her in concert at the Omaha Music Hall, I think it's called.
I can't believe you admitted that.
Relatively small venue, but we had front row center seats. Okay, so people listening can't see, but this was a small venue. My knees were practically touching the stage.
Okay,
I had a beer that was sitting on the stage.
If you're at a Kelly Clarkson concert, is the only beer they sell Michelob Ultra?
It might have been too long ago for me to remember. So she comes out, does her set. It's great. The whole night, she's as close to me as you are right now. I mean, it was an intimate concert.
What was she wearing?
She was wearing she was shoeless. She was she's not a big fan of shoes.
Shoeless?
Yeah, no shoes, bare feet.
She probably has a lot of warts.
I didn't see any.
No, but she's probably picking up
no plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
pants with like intentional holes in them with clothespins.
Thong?
I did not see her underpants. I'm sorry.
Hmm. Well, usually, you know, the thong, the thing sticks up in the bag.
I was enjoying getting lost in those hazel eyes, as the song goes. So anyway.
Mommy's hazel eyes.
So anyway, so during the show, Kelly takes a bottled water and uncaps it and takes a drink out of it.
That's so awesome.
Sets it back down. The show continues. All right. Show comes to an end. Round of applause. The roadies come out to tear down the set. I'm just standing there in the middle of row number one. I can't get out because people are leaving on both sides of me. So I asked.
And they're tearing down already.
They're tearing down. They do that right away. They come out and start doing it right away.
Interesting.
So Roadie comes out and I look at Roadie and say, hey, can I have that bottle of water? And he hands me the unopened one. I go, no, dude. I want the one she drank out of. He gave me a little bit of a weird look, but I took that home. So the next morning, I go on eBay, and I have this bottle of water that this famous person has taken a drink out of.
It's so, Kelly Clarkson.
But she was at the height of her fame then.
You're acting like George Strait drank out of this water.
Height of her fame.
Okay.
So I go on eBay, and I post the title, here's your chance to own Kelly Clarkson's DNA. And in the description, I say, I was at a concert. Here's where I was sitting. Here's what happened. It was after this song. She opened the bottle. Then I said, her lips touched this bottle. So clearly her DNA is on this thing. Okay. Now, keep in mind, this is a used bottle of Dasani or whatever it was.
Kelly Clarkson drinks Dasani.
Fairly quickly, the bid got over $100 for this thing, right? $100 for a used bottle of water. All right.
It's the greatest story ever.
So the next morning, my sister, who lives in Kansas City, calls me because she knows that I like to sell some stuff on eBay. She calls me and says, are you selling a bottle of water on eBay? And I'm like, yeah, how do you know? She says, I'm on people.com and there's an article about how this seller is selling Kelly Clarkson's DNA on eBay. So I went and looked and it made its way to MTV.com, like all these sites. If you Google Kelly Clarkson DNA water bottle today, you will find articles from back then. And it doesn't mention me by name. It says a seller in Ames, Iowa, blah, 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 is selling it. So eBay ends up canceling the auction because it's illegal to sell body parts
on
eBay. So apparently DNA is a body part.
I was thinking, like, could Kelly sue you?
Maybe.
Because if they cloned her.
I guarantee she heard about this. Someone had to say, you wouldn't believe what somebody is selling. So I started the auction over. I had to market it as a water bottle, which was not as flashy. I did end up selling it and went for about $50. And the whole time I'm thinking and wondering what this person is doing with this water bottle.
Exactly.
How high did he get before they canceled it? Was it about $100?
It was around $100.
Yeah.
Before it went down. But it's crazy. So here's my point. The majority of the world would look and see trash. They would see a water bottle. They wouldn't see anything special about that at all. I looked at it and saw, I can sell that thing. I can market that as DNA.
And this is like the greatest sales pitch of all time.
And make a splash. So don't hire those agents that see your house as a box.
My God.
You want someone that sees the magic.
I kind of
want
to go sell my house now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's unbelievable.
So anyone out there, Google DNA Kelly Clarkson water bottle.
That's the greatest. I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying this because the bro hug, you know?
Yeah.
That's the greatest sales pitch I've ever heard.
Why do you have to bring it up? You know, this is... No, get your arm off me. Yeah.
This is why people listen to our podcast, gentlemen, because you never know. Cycling basketball, 1 minute. Yeah. Birth stories the next minute.
Butthole cake balls.
butthole balls. And then a little Kelly Clarkson DNA. Oh. So I... Top that, Gray. Gray's over there going, I got nothing.
I don't.
I got nothing.
I already used my good story way back when we started doing podcasts.
I can tell.
What was yours?
I can tell more birth stories.
Nah, no one cares to hear about that.
What was your good story? You said way back.
Way back. My sophomore year of college, I was back working for Johnson Schools.
This is a good story.
All right.
Now, let me preface this, Adam, because there's probably some listeners who have heard it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm driving the ship here. I think this is a worthy story to tell again.
Yeah, you think so? Okay.
I think this is a really good story.
I guarantee, because I got people that listen because I've joined this thing now, that there's people that have not heard your story.
Tell the story.
Including me.
This is a quality story.
I want to hear it.
So I'm back working for Johnson, the athletic department, in the summer. And, you know, one of my jobs was I'd go up and I'd do the scoreboard for the baseball games. I would do the announcing. So I'm now up batting third, so on and so forth. So PA. I was a PA announcer. Yeah. I was really good at it. I was
now batting.
I was the Bob Uecker of Johnston sports.
Yeah.
But so I'm sitting there. It's a sub-state game. Johnson's playing Newton. And I got this guy from the Des Moines Register who's sitting next to me. He's just driving me crazy because I'm doing like three things at once. I'm busy. He keeps asking me, hey, what's this kid's name? What's this kid? What blah, 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 blah.
He's trying to do his job and you're the PA announcer and you don't want to help him. That's
Do a little research yourself, man.
So yeah, because doing research on high school baseball in Iowa is such an easy thing to do. There's so much information out there. But go ahead.
You see how he always takes the media side.
I'm just saying you're being totally unfair to the Register reporter. But go ahead
to this hack reporter.
As long as he admits his bias, I'm okay with him being that way.
So I'm sitting there, and this guy
not hiding anything.
He asked me. He goes, and he's writing a story. What's the name of this field? And I said, it's Adam Grayfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, how do you spell that? G-R-A-Y. All right, thanks. People around me kind of start chuckling and laughing. I think nothing of it. I get up the next day. I go to work. I was working, I was working at Nationwide in the printing department at the time. I get off work. I had about 15 missed calls, seven of which were from the Johnson AD, Gary Ross. And Gary calls me and he goes, you know, Adam, I woke up, I was in a good mood today, had a cup of coffee, opened up the sports page, and on the front page of the paper, it says, Newton took on Johnston tonight, and there was nothing friendly about the confines of Adam Gray Field. front page of the sports section.
Oh, the story never gets old.
And so I just start dying laughing, and he goes, so you think this is funny? And I go, Gary, I'll be honest. I didn't think the guy had printed. I just answered him. And he goes,
you're the PA announcer, and you're giving this guy who clearly doesn't know. Why would he think that you would just be screwing with him?
We were all chuckling as I said it. Like everyone around me that heard it kind of like laughed. They thought, ah, ha, ha, very funny. I thought he knew I was just joking because the field's not named anything. It wasn't like I was disrespecting, you know, Jim Mahoney, who coached there for 33 years.
No, you're disrespecting the writer from the Des Moines Register.
Which I could care less about.
It was really called nothing, though? Like it had
no
name
had
at all?
No, just Johnston Field, you know? Okay. And so I had to write an apology letter to him, the Des Moines Register, and the Johnston baseball team. I'd write three apology letters, and Gary he absolutely chewed my butt for about 10 minutes. My dad was infuriated with me because my dad and Gary are good friends.
Your dad's all about Johnston.
Yeah, and I mean, I took the clipping and I put it on the refrigerator of the story. My dad ripped it down. He was just, he couldn't even look at me. He was so mad at me.
Jack was upset. You disgraced his family.
I had little kids coming up to me afterwards been like, you must have been really good when you played because the field's named after you. And I'm like, you're damn right. I was really, really good. And
I blame the reporter.
I do too.
No fact checking there. He took someone's word for it.
Dude.
Google that.
This is why I have sympathy for the reporter. Covering high school sports is the freaking hardest thing in the world to do. Like, you can't find information.
Yeah.
Like, you are relying on people who are there.
Yeah.
Because there's no – the thing is, like, with Iowa State, you blame a guy. If some Yahoo at Oklahoma State tells you the name of the arena and you don't get it right. When you're covering high school sports, you don't have a beat. You're in Johnson one night. You're at East the next night. You're up in Gilbert the next. Yeah. Like, you don't, and there's no research really you can do back in that day. Now, today, there's like quick stats. There's different, like, high school athletic is. What? How long ago was this?
Oh, this had been 2004.
Yeah, like the association probably didn't even have a website at that point in time.
Yeah.
You're the PA guy. You're supposed to be the expert. You totally set this guy up.
I have no problem with the field being named after me. I don't.
You're just rightfully naming what should have been yours a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, all two of my victories as a pitcher in high school. You know,
You know what would have been better punishment if he had to write the apology letter and then read it during the next game over the PA system.
It was the last game of the year.
Oh,
so I didn't even ask for my job back the next year. I knew, but you know, Gary now he finds the story funny, and we're good family friends. So
does he listen to the podcast?
He actually last time we talked about this. What about 2 years ago, someone tipped him off, and I'm told he did listen to it, and he got a good chuckle out of it.
It's crazy how that happened. Like, we have a very wide range of listeners. Mm-hmm. Like, we have women who listen. We have college kids who listen. We have older men who listen. And we had a conversation about another one of our advertisers, Kim Pullen, from Heartland Finishes, who Mark is like a – this guy is like just an insane Iowa State fan in a great way. Like, we were having this conversation. I was golfing with Kim last summer, and I just randomly, I think drunkenly, asked him, like, when's the last day you didn't wear an Iowa State article of clothing? And I mean, he wears like Iowa State like underwear on Christmas Day. Like, the guy is just totally not. We had a conversation about it. It gets back to like his kid was listening, who got it to Kim, and then it got to a bunch of people in Southwest Iowa where Kim's from. There's always somebody listening. So I have a feeling that this Johnston athletic director is going to be tipped off again to your disrespectful diatribe from back in the day.
Clearly you have no remorse.
Yeah, no, you think it's hilarious.
People ask me all the time, would you do it again? And the answer is absolutely yes, I would. I had an old friend from Dallas who would get on the Des Moines Register, and he called me up and he goes, I had no idea that the field was named after you. And I, it wasn't, but he was down in Dallas, Texas, and he saw the story. So I was.
His story about making something up comes clean. And speaking of Iowa State, this is reminding me of something. So I need to issue a public mea culpa here and come clean on something, because I find this story something to be very proud of and something to not be proud of at all at the same time. I'll let the listeners judge. But I was in a sociology class at Iowa State. I believe it was a sociology of work, something to that effect. Big class, you know, 150 people. You guys were in those. And that's what all the jocks took, right? The sociology stuff. Anyway, I was in them.
I hated those classes because they'd like lull you to sleep, and it's so hard to pay attention to them. But then the test, like, you got to take a test. Yeah. It's not like an engaging learning atmosphere.
So by the way, if you're listening and you're in the administration office up at Iowa State, don't take back my diploma, please, because I feel like I earned it. We had to do a paper, and it was a paper related to work, et cetera, and it had to be fairly lengthy. I don't remember the exact length, but, you know, 7 pages, 8 pages, something like that. So I decided to do my paper, and my background at Iowa State was journalism, so writing's always come fairly easy to me. So I decided to write a paper on the effects of Walmarts on small towns. So when Walmart moves in, what happens to the business owners in a small town?
Crushes them.
So I wrote about a Walmart entering a town in South Dakota, and then talked a little bit about how I interviewed the guy on Main Street that did the furniture and a couple of other businesses and just what happened to them, et cetera. I did all that. The day comes to get the paper back. The TA is passing them back out because we had a smaller section with our TA. Everybody gets their paper back in the class but me. Okay, I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? After class, I go up to the TA and I say, I didn't get my paper back. Do you have any? He's like, yeah. The professor wanted me to hold your paper back because he wanted to know if you actually wrote it, because he thought it was a little bit too good. I mean, these are literal words that he said. And I said, I wrote every word of it. I promise. I wrote it all. He gave it back to me. It was an A+. Nice comments on the paper. Here's the catch.
What did he think you were going to say? Let's say you didn't. What do you say? No, you got me.
I don't know, but he just wanted to check. So I answered his question honestly. I wrote every single word of that paper. What I thought he was going to ask me, or what I was going to get in trouble for, was that the professor had taken time to fact check what I wrote.
Yeah.
100% of the paper was made up. The town was made up. The people were made up. The stores were made up. It was a complete work of fiction. Everything was made up.
That's what our hard tuition dollars are going for right there.
So the A should have been for creative writing. It shouldn't have been for this class.
Should have been like,
and now that I'm 36 years old and have a child and want them to do things the right way, I actually feel a little bit bad about that. At the time, I felt fantastic about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I got one passed on, blah, blah, blah.
Do you ever think back just to how big of a slapdick we used to be?
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I was an idiot.
So to my, and I do not remember the professor's name at all, but hey, I apologize. I still think the paper was pretty darn good.
He's listening right now. He's like, I knew it. I knew it.
Hey, but I still wrote it. I promise. I wrote it.
Hey.
Speaking of made up stuff.
Okay.
I'm sitting here watching this NASCAR going on SportsCenter right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything, what's more fake, WWE fights or fights in NASCAR?
I mean, just stop.
I mean, seriously.
Probably.
Danica and whatever this guy's name is.
NASCAR fights.
Jeez. What a joke.
Pretty lame.
You know what else is lame?
What, me ripping on NASCAR?
Your face.
Good one. Good one, Chris.
I don't hate on him because he brought in these delicious bagel bites this morning.
No, I just don't like it when people...
It's a fair question.
No, I just don't like it when people belittle things that they don't understand.
maybe he does understand it.
No, he doesn't.
I've been down in
pit. Like, I mean, I don't like wrestling. Like, I don't like the sport.
You like wrestling.
But I don't like rip it. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it sucks.
Am I ripping NASCAR by
asking? You always rip NASCAR.
By asking which one's
just because
more
you don't
fake?
Like something doesn't mean it sucks. It just means you don't like it. You don't have a taste for it.
When have you ever heard me say NASCAR sucks?
Up here in the suburbs, I mean, you know, people don't.
I might take a little shot at it, but I never come out and just say it sucks. I'm just asking which one's more real, because these fights that I see
ridiculous.
After races look about as fake as
that wasn't a fight. They were yelling at each other.
Exactly.
They're not swinging
with
at each
cameras
other.
In their face and stuff.
There weren't fisticuffs going on.
Hey, a little breaking news. Monte Morris is a Koozie Award finalist.
Oh, good. That was scary for a second.
To the nation's top point guard.
Is that presented by Budweiser?
Presented by
different kind of koozie.
Johnny Walker Red.
Oh, okay. I heard koozie.
A little different koozie.
I got confused.
No, I dig.
By the way, I said fisticuffs, which is an old word. Reminds me of my word of the week, which is, I don't know why I don't like this word, but it's old. Makes me think of saloons in the Old West. Mm. The word of the week is spittoon.
Spittoon?
What?
Spittoon.
I've never even heard of this word.
A spittoon is like a brass bucket that used to be more common when saloons, the Old West, where people would spit their tobacco juice. It's called a spittoon. S-P-I-T-O-O-N. Spittoon is the word of the week. Never liked it.
You had two word of the weeks in a row where I literally don't know if I'd heard of it before.
You're making it really difficult. So what? Now the people are collecting the words of the week.
Yes.
And what's the grand prize?
The grand prize is a trip to the Final Four for two if Iowa State makes the Final Four.
And they know every word of the week through the podcast.
So what we'll do at some point, obviously if Iowa State's getting close to the Final Four, we're going to, it depends on the timing, I guess, of when we do a podcast, et cetera. But let's assume they make the Elite Eight, whatever, we'll announce at that point the way to win. And the first way to win is you will have to know the word of the week for every week that we've done this. So you're either writing them down as we go, or you're going to have to listen to a little bit of the podcast.
Yeah, you're going to have to go back in time.
To go back. And they're all there. So someone could do that if they want to.
Yep.
But somebody will not win if they don't know all the words. So
I like it.
We got to increase the listenership, man. You know?
I like it.
I'm thinking of you guys.
So do you guys come back full circle? We got to wrap this up. Do you guys think Iowa State will win tomorrow? I they're playing really well. I'm not crazy about that matchup. I haven't been all year. It can go either way, but on the road, it's a different animal. They're not going to shoot 54% on the road. I don't think Iowa State will. I'm going to lean towards a loss, but you know, I think they're a 4 or 5 point underdog. Going to be a tough loss, but I don't think it's a demoralizing loss by any means. What do you guys think?
I think you're a little high on what the spread will be.
We'll see.
I don't think it'd be 4 or 5. I actually like the matchup. I mean, obviously they have height, which is not something that Iowa State has a lot of. But when we have the ball offensively, and you have Cameron Ridley guarding. Who's he guarding? You know, McKay or Niang? I think they can present some mismatch problems for them on the offensive side.
We'll see if Texas decides to zone Iowa State again.
Yeah. I mean, if Iowa State can get stops and rebounds, they can run all day on Texas, because I don't think Texas can get up and down the court.
Yeah, but it's just different to do that on the road.
Like, it is.
You saw that in Hilton.
We're talking matchups. I'm not talking about
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, like, for Iowa State to do what they did against Texas, what'd they score, 89, I think?
And gave up 86.
Yeah. They shot 54%. I mean,
yeah.
That's really hard to do on the road.
They're going to have to play a lot. They're going to have to play how they played against Texas in the first half defensively. They're going to have to do it for two halves if they want to win on the road. So they got to keep Isaiah Taylor out of the lane in the second half. Remember how easy it was for him to get into the lane and get buckets and get kicked out for three. So they're going to have to do a better job of keeping him out. I don't know. When was the last time Iowa State won two straight on the road in conference?
That's been a while.
I mean,
that's why I'm leaning towards no. It has nothing to do with how Iowa State's playing. I mean, if you just look at trends, Texas isn't playing very well.
I will say this. If we win at Texas, I'm back on the chances for Iowa State winning the Big 12.
It's a game changer, and it comes back to the conversations we had at the beginning of the year where now we look smart, where we're saying the Big 12 champion could have 5 losses.
I still think Kansas only has 4, but I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they have 7.
I think
they'll win too tomorrow.
Yeah,
gut feeling.
So, man, you've come back around. Like, you were really down, and now you were all in.
But when I was down, I never said this team is done.
No, I know.
I never said they're not going to.
No, you didn't. But I'm just saying, like, they prove you something on Wednesday.
I think the word was mediocre.
Yeah, they were playing mediocre at the time. That's the way they were playing.
Mark, I think it's interesting, though, because you're the voice of the fan, right? And you've taken a 180 on this team. I like that.
Well, I mean, look at the last two games, the way they've played. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted them to show some signs of improvement. I don't like what they're doing in the first half. I don't. But who cares as long as they win the second half, which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think they'll win. But what time are you posting this, by the way? I was going to play.
Right when you leave.
So
this will be up by 10:30.
So for anybody that listens to this, I'll be on Murph and Andy today at 3:30.
What station?
1460 KXNO.
So you are,
I had
baby.
To get the plug. You're going to be a great lead in to the Sports Fanatics.
I'm going to try my best.
Yeah. Who is doing the Sports Fanatics now? Who's doing that?
Ross Peterson and some other guy.
Some hack.
Yeah. Andrew Downs.
I might, if I hang around the studio, I might get to meet him today. I'm excited
for
that.
Who? Meet who?
The host of the Sports Fanatics.
Ross isn't there today.
What?
Ross is in a play tonight. And he's had this day off for a long time.
A play?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. We talked about it on the air yesterday.
Who's the co-host today? Who do I get to meet?
Bloom will be there with me.
Bloom.
And then Chad Lystico covers the Hawks for the Register's coming in at 5. So we'll talk some Iowa. And then 6 to 7 is just going to be what I haven't put the show together yet, honestly. We'll see. This is a shameless plug for us. And Adam won't care, but we'll talk about NASCAR once a year on our show.
Yeah.
You know, with the 500 coming up, we actually have booked like the premier NASCAR rider in America to come on at 5:30 today. So that'll be cool. Bob Pockrass from ESPN.
I really hope that's entertaining.
Oh, we'll make it entertaining.
I was listening to Dan Patrick the other morning, and they asked this question, and none of them knew. How many laps is the Daytona 500?
It's like... I think like 260.
260, okay.
Well, I'm just trying to think how big Daytona is. I think Daytona's like 2.2 miles or something like that. So, yeah, it's right around there. It's 500 miles.
If it's over 2 miles in length, it's less than 250 laps.
Then maybe 240.
For math.
It's like 240 or 260, something like that.
Yeah.
I won't be watching.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Just like me.
To each their own. I don't hate it. But
I will not be watching state wrestling on Saturday.
I can easily watch the last 10 laps of a race.
Sure.
That will entertain me.
Yeah.
See who wins and watch them make their move. But
like 5 accidents in between there and it takes like an hour.
My beef with racing is it's too static. Like the cars line up and they just basically stay lined up for a very long period of time. And it's not like a guy can just punch it and go around them for the most part.
So it just depends on the track.
They should give him NOS. It should be like Fast and the Furious. And, you know, you see them
once a race, you can hit the nitro button.
Exactly.
You can do that. In IndyCar, you can do that.
They have a nitro button?
Well, I don't know if it's nitro, but I swear this is true. There's a button that they push, and it gives them like an extra like 10, 20 horsepower.
Oh, really?
And you can only use like 10 of them per race.
You could totally
Formula
be making this up.
It's like the mushroom.
No, it's 100% true, though.
Do you remember the game? Did you ever play the arcade game? And I think they had like a Sega version of this off-road. You'd off-road around this track, and then you'd run over nitro things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you could boost it. Nitro!
Yeah.
And then it'd like go flying. Yeah.
Or when Mario Kart, where you can run over the arrows and it shoots you.
Yeah. Or you get little mushrooms and you have 3 of them and you want to use them strategically. Yeah.
I love Mario Kart.
Realistically, though, you're better off using them quickly so you can get another treat.
It depends what place you are in.
You want to get the red shell.
Yeah, it depends what place you're in.
Good stuff. Well, gentlemen, it was a fun podcast.
Congrats on being a father.
Thank you. I appreciate it, though. Like you two were two of the first people I heard from, and I think it's clear to anyone who listens to us, we're all friends off the air.
That's because we're sweethearts.
So you are. I love you both.
I can't wait to see what you write, because you always do a little promo for this podcast when you put it out there.
Yeah.
Are you going to include anything about Kelly Clarkson or chocolate Butthole balls.
I'll probably include the Clarkson because that's an epic story. Like,
yeah.
To me, that Clarkson, you saw how hard I was laughing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of the, in this podcast are two of the best stories ever told on a Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
That might get some listens. So, and I just have to tell my girls out there that I mentioned them. So there we go. We're probably going to have some new ears today.
I want more female listeners.
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
Hey, here's an idea. Get one of these gals, preferably with a sexy voice.
Yeah.
I don't care what she looks like.
Yeah.
Sexy voice. Come in here and we'll do a...
I don't care what she looks like.
No, I just wanted to... Because it doesn't carry over in a podcast.
Yeah.
But I want a sexy voice, you know, talk like this, mm-hmm. and get the gentleman all riled up.
So you want like a for a whole podcast, you want one of them to come in and shoot the ball with us?
Yeah.
You want what Bloom does for the ladies. We want that on what the ladies do for...
Absolutely.
Yeah, see,
Bloom is a panty dropper.
So I got to be careful now because you've set me up for problems. So if I go invite somebody, now automatically my wife's going to say, you think her voice is sexy?
But you can be like, well, William said that she didn't have to be attractive.
See, I know the one that would that would be the most fun if I brought him in.
Does she have a sexy voice?
I don't know.
Is this weird for you?
I don't know. Okay, so for the record, I do know a few girls that I would consider have a sexy voice. Now, none of them are the people that I've been talking about on this podcast, because I guess I've never analyzed their voices before.
Oh.
But out of all the people I talked about, one of the most interesting ones to be on would be Brandy, who I was talking about earlier, because Brandy is in love with Fred Hoiberg. Big time.
That'd
big
be fun
time.
To get her in here and talk about, profess her love for the mayor.
Oh, she would.
Let's do it next week.
She would, too.
Can we get her in here?
She had her husband pull strings so she'd get a picture taken with him, which she posted on Facebook a couple months ago.
Can we get her in here next week?
I bet we could get her in here.
A little female flavor?
No, if she comes here, though, she has to apologize for calling this podcast average, all right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't call it average.
No, let's get her in next week.
Come on in here.
Absolutely. You're going to have to get more headsets, though.
No, I got a fourth.
Okay.
I got a fourth at home. I use that for production stuff. I'll bring it in.
Let me check availability. We'll see what's going on. But it would be good to get a little female perspective going on here.
If she knows what's good for her, she won't turn down an invitation to the top podcast in America.
Because guess who knows Fred Hoiberg real well? Chris Williams. Chris Williams does.
See what I can do for her.
Yeah. You've been to his house, man. You could get the personal invite going, probably. Yeah, and he's like, great, and I have to do it.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to go and...
Has nothing to do with that baby, does it?
No.
Yeah.
She's an angel. You know what? Like, the whole deal, like, I worry about my wife more than I do the baby. I know I can take care of the baby.
Yeah. Your wife will be fine.
Yeah, she needs a few days.
Women are very resilient. Yeah. So, yeah. Shout out to Cameron. I know she's listening out there.
She is. My little girl, Gray. Thank you, as always.
Yes.
Charter, I love you. Gray, I like you.
Stay away from the Johnston baseball field.
I'm sorry, Adam.
I've been invited back since.
I'm sorry about the hug.
No, it's cool.
Hey, this is a sincere apology.
No, it's all right.
And when we shut this thing off, I'm going to give you a big bear hug.
I'm not taking it.
You better.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Friday, great weekend. Go Clones. Take care.
Go Clones.